Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of July 12, week 5 of our study of the Old Testament prophetic book Ezekiel. I'm Dan Nygaard. Today we look at Ezekiel's fifth vision. You may recall my explanation that Ezekiel can be subdivided into nine sections identified by Ezekiel's nine visions. Each of Ezekiel's visions begin with the same formula: in the year, number year, in the number month, on the number day, the word of the Lord came to me. So our analysis can use the words of Ezekiel himself to break up this large prophetic book into about nine pericopes or sections. Today, we look at Ezekiel's fifth vision, which begins in Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Again, that same formula. In the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, the word of the Lord came to me. And in the fifth vision, here is what God says: Son of man, record this date, this very date, because the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. Ezekiel's fifth vision includes a prophetic message that is very troubling. Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 15 through 18. The word of the Lord came to me: Son of man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. In consumer Christianity, in Americana Christianity, or popular Christianity, there is this belief that God is obligated to bless, to protect, to care for his people. Be assured, God loves to bless. God loves to care for. God loves to protect his people. However, for Ezekiel, the death, the God-ordained death of Ezekiel's wife, is part of Ezekiel's prophetic message to the people of Israel. The death of Ezekiel's wife was a foreshadowing for the exiles, the Israeli exiles in Babylon, the death of the state, the nation, the city of Israel and Jerusalem. Ezekiel's first four visions were prophecies of judgment and doom on the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Now, in the fifth vision, God's judgment, God's prophecy of doom, is targeted not towards exclusively towards Israel, but towards the nations that neighbor Israel. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me: Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Verse 11 of chapter 25, I will inflict punishment on Moab, then they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 13 of Ezekiel 25, this is what the sovereign Lord says: I will stretch out my hand against Edom and kill both man and beast. I will lay it waste from the Teman to the Dedan. They will fall by the sword. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 25. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will wipe out the Kerethites and destroy those remaining along the coast. Next, Ezekiel launches into a lengthy and rather bizarre prophecy against the city and king of Tyre. It begins in Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 1. In the 11th month of the 12th year, on the first day of the month. Now, is this a separate vision? Again, we have that formula, a certain month, a certain year, a certain day. And that is the formula. Those are the words of Ezekiel that I am using to subdivide and focus upon Ezekiel's prophetic book. However Ezekiel's visions might be identified, chapter 26 of the book of Ezekiel begins a lengthy and at times bizarre condemnation of the city and the king of Tyre. Written T-Y-R-E, Tyre, was an island colony founded by the Phoenicians on the coast of modern-day Lebanon. Now, the city-state of Tyre actually furnished building materials to King Solomon to help to support Solomon's building of the temple in Jerusalem. By the 11th century BCE, before the Christian era, Tyre itself had established colonies in the western Mediterranean, including on the islands of Cyprus and Sicily and Sardinia and Malta, also as far as southern Spain and North Africa. Tyre was creating a colony, an empire built on trade, not conquest. Their commercial empire would last for almost a millennium. One of the colonies founded from Tyre was the city of Carthage that would become Rome's greatest rival. Ezekiel prophesied the doom of Tyre. That prophecy was partially fulfilled in the years 585 to 573 when King Nebuchadnezzar, the same king that conquered Jerusalem, when King Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Tyre. Now, because Tyre was an island city just off the coast of modern-day Lebanon, it was a very tough city to conquer. Nebuchadnezzar himself never conquered the city of Tyre, although he laid waste to the coastlands and forced Tyre to submit to his rule. He did not actually conquer Tyre. Ezekiel's prophecy of Tyre's destruction was fulfilled totally in the year 332 when Alexander the Great laid siege to the city, built a causeway from the coast to that island just offshore. And when he conquered Tyre, he killed, according to historians, about 10,000 of the inhabitants. 30,000 surviving inhabitants were sold into slavery by Alexander the Great. Ezekiel's prophecy of the destruction of Tyre was fulfilled in two steps, in two stages, by Nebuchadnezzar, 585-573 BC, and ultimately by Alexander the Great in 332 BCE. If you have your Bible, your smartphone, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. We're going to take a look at some of the bizarre, some of the strange caricaturizations of Tyre that the prophet Ezekiel recorded. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre. Say to him, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite and emerald, topaz, onyx and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Heavenly Father, my prayer, our prayer, is that Jesus and Jesus alone be exalted. Ezekiel's fifth vision, or sixth vision, depending upon how you count them, this vision of Ezekiel records some fantastic characterizations of this king of Tyre. The prophet's Ezekiel of this king raises a question. Does Ezekiel's prophecy about Tyre convey or contain a double meaning? Verse 16 summarizes this question. Ezekiel chapter 8, 28, verse 16. Through your widespread trade, you're talking about economy, talking about trade, human trade among the nations, you were filled with violence and you sinned. Okay, that's a very human thing. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Now, these descriptions are not material descriptions. These are otherworldly alien descriptions. The prophecy of Ezekiel against the king and kingdom of Tyre includes alien angelic descriptions. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, you were the seal of perfection. Now, what human has ever been perfect? Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. It is not unusual for humans to identify beauty in their world and even beautiful people, particularly beautiful females, but God never identifies humans with beauty. Yet he says, verse 12, Ezekiel 12, 28, you were full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Verse 13, you were in Eden. Could that mean someplace other than the Garden of Eden? No. You were in Eden, the Garden of God, on the day you were created, not born. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 28, you were anointed as a guardian cherub. Recall the prophet Ezekiel in his vision of the Lord identified four cherubim surrounding the throne of God. You were anointed, Ezekiel 28, verse 14, a guardian cherub, for so I, that is the Lord, ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. Okay, that might be an identification of the mount that Solomon built his temple on, but go on, you were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. In Ezekiel's visions of the throne of God, as well as Isaiah's, as well as that vision recorded in the New Testament book Revelation, fire is a central image in the throne of God. Verse 15 of Ezekiel 28, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. No human has ever been proclaimed blameless by the Lord. Only one human, or two, are identified as having been created by God: Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All other humans in the biblical record are descendants of those exclusively two created human beings. The prophet of Ezekiel, speaking in the voice or in the name of the Lord, says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. And so the prophecy goes on, verses 16 and 17 of Ezekiel 28. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, guardian cherub. I threw you to the earth. Ezekiel presents us with a prophetic description of a being who seems to be unhuman, seems in some way to be alien. And yet, Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre, against the city, and against its king includes very human material descriptions. Verse 2, but you are a mere mortal, not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. You're just mortal. Verse 5, by your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth. What alien, what angelic type of being bothers to trade and is concerned with material wealth? Verse 7 and 8, I am going to bring foreigners against you, the most ruthless of nations. They will draw their swords against your beauty and wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die a violent death in the heart of the seas. This is a description of the demise, of the doom of a very human material being. Verse 18, by your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. And that raises another question. Why would Yahweh, why would the God of the Bible, why would the God of Israel be concerned with desecrated sanctuaries in the Phoenician culture in the city of Tyre? This rather bizarre prophecy against Tyre concludes, verse 19, all the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. As I already laid out, this prophecy against the city-state, the island city of Tyre, was fulfilled in kind of two stages. 570, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar occupied and controlled the coastal lands of Tyre, forcing Tyre to submit to becoming a vassal state of the Babylonian Empire. A couple hundred years later, Alexander the Great conquers the city itself and totally destroys the city, both the structure and the human civilization. Now, it has become common for modern day, and not just modern day, but for certain Bible scholars to interpret this portion of Ezekiel as a look back at the fall of the created being, often called Lucifer, who became the Satan. The literal translation of the title, the Satan, just simply means the adversary of God and his purposes. The Bible introduces this adversary in the earliest chapters of Genesis via the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And there's a certain attraction for us to use this portion of Ezekiel to help us explain how this adversary, how this serpent in the garden, how this enemy of God might have originated. The prophecy of Ezekiel identifies a creative being who was created perfect, was not born, was created perfect, and seemingly was among the elite of all the beings Yahweh created. But this created being's God-given wisdom and beauty and power led him to believe, assume that he was in some way an equal to Yahweh himself. Now that's a very popular way of interpreting this portion of Ezekiel. The problem is that Ezekiel identifies Tyre, the king of Tyre, in quite material and human descriptions as well. I can almost hear my Old Testament professor in answer to the question about this portion of Ezekiel saying, well, Ezekiel says this is a prophecy against Tyre. Nowhere in Ezekiel does he identify this adversary, the Satan. That explanation, however, does not answer for us the alien, almost angelic descriptions attached by the prophet Ezekiel to the king of Tyre. I can't give you a good explanation for Ezekiel's prophecy here. Allow me to give you a proposal, a proposition, and that is the king of Tyre at the time of Ezekiel, or maybe subsequent kings, maybe this was an ongoing thing, but the king of Tyre was literally under the possession of the adversary, the Satan himself. And so Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre does have a double meaning. Yes, the material kingdom of Tyre is under God's judgment, as is the spiritual being that is somehow personally in control of the kings of Tyre. That's simply a proposition, and it's not a very satisfying one, but in my wrestling with the text, that's the explanation that I come up with until I find a better one. Here is the principle Ezekiel leaves us with. Divine judgment is real and certain. Look back at Ezekiel chapter 3. God says to the prophet Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you shall surely die, and you, Ezekiel, do not warn them or speak out, that wicked person will die for their sin, but I will hold you accountable for their blood. Ezekiel was a watchman for Israel, responsible to warn the people of Israel of God's approaching judgment. It raises a question. Are Christians, are followers of Christ, to serve as watchmen? Might God hold you and me accountable if we do not speak up, if we do not warn our culture of God's just laws? Most Christians love the claim that God forms humans in the womb, in utero. And we get this concept, I mean, throughout the Bible, but most clearly in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. God is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, who was before Ezekiel's time. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. With good reason, we use this scripture to claim that God is personally involved in the formation and birth of every human. On the other hand, it has become out of fashion for Christians today to take on the responsibility to warn the wicked. And to be sure, warning the wicked requires Holy Spirit-empowered sacrificial love. So many of us choose against warning the wicked. Just let people live according to their own lights. Let's not be judgmental. But is it not inconsistent to claim that God forms every human in utero and reject the call to be watchmen? Ezekiel assures us that divine judgment is real and certain. Ezekiel suggests that followers of Jesus Christ have a duty to be watchmen and to warn our culture of their wickedness. Yes, that has to be done with special Holy Spirit prophetic insight. I believe Christians have a responsibility to say the law of God is the way of life, and to disobey the law of God is the path to death and destruction and suffering. I close with the hope from this vision in Ezekiel. God shall be known. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. This is what the sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. They will live there in safety and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who malign them. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. The people of Israel have miraculously been gathered back out of the nations into geographically the promised land. Yet the people of Israel today do not live in safety. This prophecy is partially fulfilled, but doesn't seem to be fully fulfilled. The people of Israel today do not accept Jesus as Lord. Ezekiel suggests a day is coming when the people of Israel will acknowledge Jesus is Lord. The Apostle Paul hopes and believes in that same ultimate end. Scripture anticipates a great falling away at the end of the age. Yet the Apostle Paul prophesied that every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ as Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means he's the rightful king of the world. He's the rightful master of society. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God shall be known. God shall be honored. God shall have his rightful place on this earth. That is the hope from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel.